Produced by Jeffrey Griselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall, this is Yes Music Podcast episode 465. Jeff Downes on DBA's Halcyon Hymns and Yes in 2021.
Hi, this is Alan White from Yes, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 465 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along in a little bit. Please do get involved yourself with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. It was a delight to welcome Yes and DBA keyboardist Jeff Downes back onto the show this week. Mark and I speak to him about his excellent new DBA album, Halcyon Hymns, as well as a couple of aspects of what's coming up for Yes in 2021, specifically the rumours around the new album and the possibilities of touring. So listen out for that conversation in a few moments. Around the social webs this week, all the chat has been about the new Yes album, after Alan White spoke about it on a Facebook Live event. As Daniel Crone pointed out to me, Alan said the album is in the mixing stage and should be out this spring or summer. You'll want to hear Jeff's angle on that later on in this episode. On the YMP Facebook page, Dave Fagan and Mark posted 50th birthday wishes to John Davison, which means he's almost caught up with me. And Daniel Crone added a YouTube video of a virtual Yes concert with an amazing light show. To help you save the date for our 500th episode recording from the top of Yes Tour in Devon, UK, I've added a Facebook event to the YMP page, so you can add your name to the growing list of listeners who are either going to be able to join in or are just interested in the event. Daniel was inspired by the mention of a potential name for one of the songs on the new Yes album, The Ice Bridge, to create a bit of a collage, which is very impressive. And in the community posts, Jeffrey Mason added the following. A scene from a 1980s children's TV show where Jeff Downes and Trevor Horn shove custard pies into each other's faces, in perhaps an homage to Steve Howe's antics on film from his Tomorrow Days in 1967. A review of Steve's album Beginnings, a piano reduction of Six Wives, presumably down to about three-ish. Steve recalling his rock god, Chuck Berry. A review of The Red Planet from Rick. An online radio station playing Peter Gabriel and Rick Wakeman. It's another Rick Week. A review of Steve Howe's Love Is. Many musicians campaigning against the Brexit visa problems for European work. Rick Wakeman's talk from the Dublin Bowie Festival. And a 1977 New York Times review of Yes in concert at Madison Square Gardens. Doug Curran also added his photo of the birthday boy John Davison at the Philadelphia 50th anniversary show, and Richard Dolan left a very kind comment and a bit of an assessment of the Stephen Wilson Yes remixes. Over on Twitter, Brian Neeson added a video of Yes Live in 1969, which he hadn't seen before, and I posted one corner of my new YMP Towers setup, which currently has a little eclectic collection in it. Many thanks, as always, to everyone who's been in touch in any way this week, including those who left detailed and thoughtful comments on the show notes for last week. That was Guy DeRome, Terry Sadler, John M., Gary Andrews, Ian MB, and Dave Owen. If you're looking for inspiration for uplifting songs, then check out their suggestions, which are all fabulous.
Whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.
So it's a delight to welcome Jeff Downes back onto the Yes Music podcast. I think this is the third or fourth, possibly, time that we've spoken to him. And we are going pan-global, so Wales and England and, well, I'm assuming Jeff is in Wales, and England and Canada with Mark. So hello there, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Okay, then. So this is actually the third time we've spoken to you about a new DBA album. Suburban Ghosts, we talked to you back in November 2015, if you can remember that far back.
Well,
Skyscraper Souls, and now this Halcyon Hymns, which is the new one. So why do you think your collaboration with Chris Braid has been so productive?
Well, I think we're sort of like-minded souls in many ways. And I think that we, you know, we sort of come from the same part of the world. And I know Chris was a huge Buggles fan. So we met up actually when we were doing a show with the producers actually, Trevor's band. And Chris said to me, you know, we should do some writing someday. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And so from that point onwards, I think he just moved to the States at that time, and I was working in LA also on the Fly From Here album. So it was a sort of, it was a meeting of minds really at that time.
Hi, Jeff. It's Mark, by the way.
Hi, Mark.
Question for you. 2020 has been a tough year for touring bands, but for many, they use this time to make some fantastic albums like Halcyon Hymns. Do you think we would have had this album if the COVID situation didn't happen or if it ended after a few months?
I think so, yeah, because I'd given my ideas to Chris prior to the sort of pandemic taking a grip. In fact, we did a show back in about this time last year in Sussex in England. And we'd been talking for quite a bit about doing another album. So in many ways, it was similar to the way we'd been working on the previous couple of albums, whereby, you know, I collated a number of ideas and then sent them over to Chris, and he worked on them over there and then sent them back to me, and I carried on doing bits and pieces on it. So it was almost, you know, the way that people are doing it now, we've been doing it for quite some time.
Absolutely. Well, I think the album is absolutely fantastic. It's one of my favourite albums, actually, of the moment.
Oh, okay.
But like Skyscraper Souls, the artwork for this DBA 4 is by Roger Dean. And I think the idea to include footage of Roger painting the cover in the DVD version of the album, I think that's a brilliant idea. And with Skyscraper Souls, though, that was one of Roger's sort of delicate watercolour paintings. And this one is in his sort of beautiful, crisp oils-type style with a stunning kingfisher at the top. Did you discuss the image with Roger before he began work on it?
Yeah, we did, really, because certainly I think on Skyscraper Souls, it was, you know, as you say, it was more of a watercolour. It was more more pastely. And I think that we wanted to go for more of an image on this one. And I think Halcyon Hymns, you know, the image of the kingfisher and everything like that, it was a kind of synonymous thing with Roger that he got where we were heading and we got where he was heading. So it was a great combination, I think, that he agreed to do the creation of the artwork alongside, you know, what we the music that he was listening to, we were sending him. So very much a case of, Roger's obviously, you know, a brilliant artist. I've known him for many, many years. It's always great to work with him and you know, he brings something extra, I think, to, you know, has done obviously with Yes and, you know, many other artists. He always seems to come up with something original that reflects, I think, you know, what's encompassed in the music. Certainly going back to, say, the original Asia album, you know, where we had the serpent and the pearl, was became one of the lyrics in Heat of the Moment, you know. So those things are kind of entwined, I think. And it's great to have Roger involved with DBA.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me that it's a little bit reminiscent of things like Yes shows with that bird at the top of that front cover. So it's nice to have those sort of reflections of the past as well.
Well, I think the great thing about Roger is he's very good at putting a single image, you know, and I think that tries to reflect what's contained within. And I think those are very, very iconic images that he comes up with. Even going back to Fragile or the original Yes logo, you know, they're very, very, the Asia logo, you know, they're very, very identifiable images. And so it's great, he always seemed to come up with something great. So, you know, it was nice to have him doing the in studio painting.
Yeah, totally agree. So like Kevin, I'm a very, very big fan of this new record. I've been listening to it quite a bit in my car. But I'm also a big fan of Skyscraper Souls. What would you say is the biggest difference between that album and the new one?
I think this album's probably deeper, you know, in terms of its content. And I know I discussed with Chris some time prior to sending him the ideas, and I thought it was nice if we could reflect some of our influences more, maybe some of the classical influences, maybe some of the those anthemic songs that, you know, the anthems, the English church music, all that kind of thing, which I know was an influence to all of us. And I think it's a very English sounding album, if you like, and it has a lot of, you know, those rich harmonies and a lot of great melodies, I think. It's just such a pleasure to work with Chris because he really gets it. You know, anything I sort of send him or play him, he really gets it.
Yeah. Well, I think this album is exactly what we need at the moment in our current situation. And I find it like an antidote to the situation we're in. And I love its sort of immersive feel. Looking backwards, but not with sadness, looking back in a very positive way. And I like the way that some information I've seen says the songs reflect a bucolic halcyon summer. But one aspect I wanted to ask you about particularly is the narration of the poetry. Now, that's something you've done before with DBA. Is it Barney Ashton Bullock again this time?
Yeah, I think it's nice because one thing we wanted to do, I mean, Chris is a big lover of vinyl, as I am.
Yeah.
And I think we wanted to, you know, rather than just doing a collection of songs, which is really the first two albums are kind of along that line, I think we ventured more into, on Skyscraper Souls, we ventured more into, not a concept album per se, but, you know, an album that was very listenable from beginning to end rather than having a series of cherry-picked tracks on there.
Yeah.
And I think this, with the Halcyon Hymns, we wanted to extend that even further. And I think that having the narration, you know, Barney's poetry is fabulous and his depth of delivery only kind of enhances the music that's there. And so, yeah, I mean, that was the idea, is that we conceived it really as an album rather than a collection of songs.
Yeah, I mean, his poetry, I love his poetry on this, and it reminds me of Dylan Thomas or someone like that. And I do find it particularly effective right at the beginning of the album, Love Among the Ruins, and on Beachcombers, and that amazing Remembrance song that you've put together, which is 11 minutes. And that goes by in a flash, Remembrance, for me. It's all the different elements, but they seem to work so nicely together. And you know, towards the end, the lovely poetry. It's a remarkable piece of work, that.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think the idea behind it was that, you know, we weren't going to be constrained by, you know, writing short songs or anything like that. And I think that, you know, Chris, obviously, you know, his energy over the last 10 years or so, or 15 years, has been focused on, you know, working with more sort of mainstream artists, pop songs per se. But I think a lot of his interest is really in, you know, in progressive music as well, you know, being a vinyl lover. And you know, my combination of my history of being, you know, having come from the pop side, but then delving into the progressive side, I think it's an interesting reversal of roles in a way that we've sort of come together in this way. And so I think that, you know, if you wanted to bandy a term around, you'd say it was progressive pop. You know, that we try and, as I say, we're not constrained by writing short songs. I think for maybe the first couple of albums, we were more conscious of doing it that way. But as time has progressed, I think, you know, with the Roger Dean artwork and, you know, the poetry and, you know, the much longer tracks, it's much more in keeping with the direction we wanted to go in.
Yeah. Great, fantastic. So I'm a guitar player, so I really, really enjoyed the guitar playing on this record. I think Dave Bainbridge did a really, really great job on this record, as did Dave C. I'm just going to say Dave C because I'll probably butcher his last name on Skyscraper Souls. Was there a reason for the change of the guitar players?
Not particularly. I think that Dave Colquhoun was more. He was quite involved with Rick Wakeman, actually, funnily enough. You know, there's all these things go full circle. So when we did our gig last year, I knew Dave Bainbridge from, you know, the cruises and things like that, where he plays with Life Signs. And I just thought, well, you know, he would be a great addition. So when we did our gig last year and Dave wasn't available because I think he was doing Rick's album, I asked him and said, you know, do you want to come along and do the show with us? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. So, you know, he came along and absolutely blew everybody away because his performance was incredible. And so he was a natural for us to ask to play on this album. And really, he is he's an incredible musician, a medible, great keyboard player. He has great sound ideas, and so I think we're very lucky to have him on board on this. And funny enough, he went to the same music college as I did. We had the same piano teacher, so
nice.
So so it all, as I say, it all goes full circle. But he's done a great job. I think he approaches the guitar playing a bit like Steve does, you know, in some respects. And you know, he goes for, you know, weird guitar sounds, you know, like going through a Leslie cabinet or you know, multiple tracks of 12-string guitars and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of Steve's playing, is that he's not just a guy that picks up a guitar and plays a lot of notes. You know, he really goes in and digs deep and is almost like a sort of guitar orchestra. And I think that's, you know, Dave is very much a similar kind of player, is that, you know, he digs deeper and pulls out these different sounds and techniques, which is great. You know, I mean, for us, I think it's really one of the things that's really made the album.
Well, yeah, I think all the instrumental and vocal performances are fantastic. And I was also impressed with the bass lines. And I was just wondering, I mean, particularly on things like Remembrance and She'll Be Riding Horses and Your Heart Will Find the Way, amongst others. Previously, you've worked with Lee Pomeroy. Is he playing bass on this one?
No, this is Andy Hodge. He played bass on the last album.
Well, oh, right.
Lee Pomeroy played bass on the first two albums.
Yes.
But, of course, you know, he was pretty much tied up with Rick, funny enough, again, you know. He seemed to be laying the foundation for Rick's guitar players and bass players.
But, yes.
So Andy is an old friend of mine, and he's a really gifted bass player. I think he plays in a similar style to it's funny that I make these comparisons, but he goes up the neck like Chris does, you know. He plays these lovely high inversions that, you know, are not, you know, they're not the obvious bass notes to play along with the music. And I think that, again, you know, that adds another dimension. It's a very creative dimension that we've got on the album. And you know, on top of that, you know, Ash Sohn, who was in the producers, of course, with Trevor and Chris. I played with them on several stuff. I played on the producers album. I did some stuff with them on that, and we did the gigs with them when we did the shows of the Buggles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's such a great drummer. I mean, really is. You know, we're very unique and in the pocket. And there again, you know, he played on Rick Wakeman's album.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know what's going on here, but something's going on.
Yeah, how much freedom did you give those musicians to add their parts?
Well, I think in many ways it becomes, you can tell from the music generally, it's pretty much piano driven, you know, in terms of the structures and that kind of thing, and that, you know, a lot of the lead instrument is piano. So I think it in some ways does dictate to some degree what would go underneath that, what people would put on it. And but in many ways, it's, you know, when you've got musicians like that at your disposal, you're much better off to let them do what they do best than try and tell them how to play their instrument. Because, you know, I could possibly tell Ash Stone how to play the drums because, you know, he knows how to play the drums, I don't. And so it's great to have those people that have got, you know, they're totally at ease with their instrument and just let them go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I find this album to be a little bit more mellow and more acoustic driven than the previous album, which is absolutely fine by me. I was just wondering, though, was that planned or was this sort of additional acoustic stuff figured out while you were in the studio working on the record?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, it's not really necessarily so much in the studio. It's more, you know, people working on their individual parts and then sending it in, and then it gets modified and then goes back and people, you know, do different things at everyone's suggestion. But, you know, having said that, I think that, you know, it's a great combination to have all those elements at your disposal. But at the same time, as you say, this album is more acoustic than the previous few. I think we're trying to get something that was a bit more, you know, we mentioned nostalgia earlier, not so much that, but, you know, there's a lot of pathos in the original ideas. And so, you know, those often are really best served by, you know, acoustic instruments. So, I mean, obviously we use synthesizers and samples and all the rest of it, but I think that, you know, the nature of the music on this album and the nature of the songs really benefited more from an acoustic approach and having the space. You know, I think that one thing that maybe we didn't have necessarily so much on the first couple of albums was getting those dynamics in place. And I think that when you listen to, you know, all those wonderful vinyl albums that we had in our past, you realize that it's all about the dynamics. You know, it's all about the highs and lows. It's all about, you know, tragedy and comedy and fantasy and reality. You know, all those things are working together. And so I think in this instance, because the songs have got that, you know, that summery light feel about them, you know, like you say, the halcyon days or that sort of imagery, I think it lends itself more to that acoustic treatment.
Fantastic. So I'm a bit of a gear geek, I got to warn you. So, of course, I have to ask you about keyboards.
Oh, God, there's always one. Yeah. So I am too, by the way.
Yeah, I kind of knew that ahead of time, so I thought this would be a great question to ask you. I mean, the sounds on this album are fantastic. I'm wondering, did you acquire any new keyboards for this recording?
A lot of it is, you know, I've been working out of the box quite a bit.
So, oh, really?
But where I used to, you know, have zillions of synthesizers and all that kind of thing, I've focused myself more on the, you know, the software, albeit, you know, it's a bit more convenient. But, you know, having said that, I still like to think about the fundamental instruments like piano and organ and Moog synthesizer and, you know, Selena string machine and, you know, all those sort of the Fender Rhodes. Those early keyboards were very much my staple diet, you know, in the early days. So I tend to lean on those quite a bit heavily, whether it, you know, be, there's a couple of tracks have got Mellotron flutes and that sort of thing on there. So I get excitement from recreating those sounds, but at the same time, I like to, you know, there's so many interesting bits of software kicking around now that I really get my head around. And it's become something of a, you know, it's a hobby turned into profession. I just like tinkering around, experimenting with new sounds, just playing around with these elements. And actually, funny enough, a lot of the ideas stem from those experimentations with sound that you know, something will trigger something off. You hear a noise or something like that. And you think, wow, you know, that could develop into something. So that's really very much how I operate these days.
Yeah, because I have to say, just really quickly before we go to the next question, is I saw a video of yours a while back where you were going through your gear. I believe it was for a Yes tour. And you had displayed a Roland Gaia. And ever since I saw that keyboard, I went out and bought one, and I've loved it. I've used it on a lot of my own recordings. So thank you for showing me that keyboard.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's a great keyboard. And, you know, I think that Roland did actually come up with a lot of good stuff, you know, in the last 20 years or so. And, you know, I do like to keep ahead of the keyboards as well. You know, I like to, I like quite a lot of the IK multimedia stuff that comes out. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things around, and yeah, I'm fortunate in the way that I've always been, it's always been part of my main interest is to push the technology in that way, you know, whether it be getting the original Fairlight or a Synclavier or the Polymugs and all that sort of thing. I was lucky enough to be at the front end of all that. So it's something that really has been, you know, it's sort of encompassed in my creative process.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think it's been extremely successful integrating all those sounds and instruments onto this record. It's been brilliant. But just before we go, a couple of questions about Yes. And I did realize the other day that 2021 is the 10th anniversary of this Yes Music podcast. And it strikes me it's also the 10th anniversary of when you rejoined Yes for Fly From Here and all that. So quite a bit has happened in a decade for you, Yes, and the whole world, hasn't it?
Well, indeed. I think that in a couple of weeks' time, well, it was the beginning of February when the middle of February 2011 when I rejoined Yes. And it was, funny enough, was coupled with the fact that I was working with Chris at the same time. Mm. So it's almost like we've gone full circle again. And it's been a great 10 years. I mean, I've learned a hell of a lot of stuff about being in Yes for 10 years. Certainly going through all those albums or the some of them I was not particularly well familiar with. Going for the one, I didn't know all of the tracks on that. So going in just purely from a musicology standpoint, and looking at how the various keyboard players, Rick and Patrick, put together these albums, you know, Tony Kaye, their keyboard profiles were incredible. And so to actually sit down and go through those in detail and find out how, you know, this crazy stuff that they call Yes put it all together, it's been really an eye-opener. It's been fascinating period of my time.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the big things that has hit the internet was Alan's interview that he did. Well, he appeared on a live stream with this gentleman called Sean Toner and revealed that the new Yes album is in the mixing stage. So you have any thoughts about these songs? I mean, Alan said that they are different and they will surprise quite a bit of people. You have anything to add to it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was in the mixing stage at this moment, but it's certainly moved along a lot in recent times. When we have had the breaks and the lockdown, you know, I've been working with Steve on quite a bit of stuff. And so it's been moving along quite nicely. I think that, you know, it's obviously much more difficult because none of us are in the same room for any great length of time due to the restrictions. But certainly we exchange a lot of stuff originally via the internet and sending files to each other and working out, you know, how we put it together. And, you know, Steve has been very instrumental, I think, in putting it all together. And I think it will surprise people. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a very interesting album. And I think the Yes fans are really going to like it.
Yeah. So Alan said that there's also some archival material. Does that mean some music which Chris Squire worked on or some things from long ago?
I think that's a possibility, but I'm not sure that, you know, that's for definite. I think that, you know, we've not closed the doors on anything at this moment in time. I mean, I don't know, you know, we haven't got an official release date for it yet. I mean, it will have to be mixed. I think there's still more ideas coming in. There's still more overdubs to go on some of the stuff. But, you know, certainly it's getting to a point where it's taking shape of a pretty extensive album. And I think that, you know, we're all individually pretty pleased with the way it's gone.
Excellent. So do you know when we will know the name of the album or anything like that?
As yet, we've not made any decision on that, so I wouldn't like to preempt that in any way. But we have got some, you know, there's some ideas floating around. But, you know, with Yes, things can change at the last minute. And I would like to put my hand up my heart and say, this is what it's going to be called. And then, you know, just before that gets pressed or whatever, you know, someone turns around and says, oh, I've got a great idea. I mean, in some ways, we did that with, going back to DBA, we did that with DBA. I mean, we only really started to come up with the Halcyon Hymns idea once we got Roger involved. And then I think it was originally going to be called Love Among the Ruins. And I think that, so, you know, or Hold in the Heavens was another suggestion. So we were going to name it after a track, but I think that as the whole thing developed and it became, you know, an entity, that's when we thought something else. So it's quite possible that going back to Yes, that would be, you know, how it happens. But, you know, you can never predict Yes. That's been my adage that I've stuck to all the time I've been in the band, is that you never know what's going to happen next with Yes.
No, indeed. Well, something else we don't know what's going to happen with is the current COVID situation. And I've got tickets for Monday, the 17th of May, 2021 at Symphony Hall in Birmingham to see the Relayer tour. So what's your gut feeling about the viability of that tour?
Well, I think that we just got to wait and see. I think that, you know, time's marching on. It's, you know, until they start looking at, you know, it's a full-on vaccination program and, you know, whether the promoters are going to want us to do it or not, you know, I don't know. It's early days yet, really. I think we've just got to wait and see. So I wouldn't really like to make any prediction on that at all.
No.
It's not something that any of us know what's going to happen, you know. And I think that we are very much leading a life of limbo at the moment in a wait and see basis. And, you know, hopefully, you know, hopefully we could do it. We'd all love to do it. But, you know, things have a way of changing, as we know, as of last year when we were, you know, we were all excited and scheduled to go out in April last year. And then, of course, things changed rapidly and we couldn't do it.
So one last question before we let you go. What are your thoughts on the post-Brexit situation around Europe? European touring for the bands, is that going to stop Yes from going to Europe?
Well, I don't necessarily think it will stop us going into Europe. I just think it, you know, it's probably going to make things a bit more difficult, that's for sure. But I don't know. They may come up with a solution that makes it better than the solution that's on the table at the moment. And you know, hopefully that would be the case, because I think anything that, you know, restricts people from doing their, you know, going about their business is going to be very, very difficult. But you know, we can just hope that that there is a satisfactory solution, and you know, the borders will open up and we could go out and play to, you know, all the fans that we've got all over Europe and all over the world.
Yeah, that's right. Keep it positive.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like 2021 is going to be a fantastic year for you and for Yes and for DBA with this excellent new album. So it's been brilliant to talk to you once again, Jeff, and all the best for this year.
Thank you very much, and same to you guys.
Just before we go, here are the YMP producers and half the patrons. Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. And half of those Yes Music Podcast patrons are Aaron Steelman, Bob Martellotta, Brian Sullivan, Chris Bandini, Craig Estenes, Dave Owen, David Hayden, Lind, David Pannell, Dave Watkinson, Dem, Doug Curran, Fergus Cubbage, Fred Barringer, Jeff Bailey, Jeffrey Mason, Guide of Rome, Henrik Antonsen, H.B. Peterson, Ian N.B., Jamie McQuinn, Ken Fuller, Michael Handahan, Jim, John Cowan, John Holden, John Parry, John Thompson, and Barry Gorski. Continued thanks to Robert and David as always. And remember, Jeff, it's not always about you. So thank you very much indeed to all those patrons. If you'd like to join them to help keep the lights on here in the new and improved YMP Towers, then please do head over to Patreon, patreon.com/YesMusicPodcast, or just click the link on YesMusicPodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week, so thanks very much indeed for listening once again. We're back next week with another interview. Try and guess who that's with. So please do keep listening in the meantime and getting involved via Twitter, Facebook or Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.